You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host, Paul Esposito. Thanks for joining me here today, friends. God bless you. Thanks for taking 15 minutes of your day to join me. We are in a study in the book of Revelation right now. We're looking at the church in Pergamos, but prior to getting started, let me again invite everyone out to Island Community Church. If you're looking for a new or a good church home, if you like what you hear on this program, if you're hungry for the Word of God, I make no excuses out there. If you're not being fed the Word of God, if you're not hearing it where you're going, I invite you to come out to Island Community Church. The place, 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island, is where we're located. Sunday mornings at 10:30. Also, I'm teaching this very same book Thursday nights at 6 o'clock. You're invited to Island Community Church Thursday nights from 6 to 7 for our prayer meeting and Bible study. Sunday morning for our Sunday morning worship service, 10:30. This Sunday, we're looking at something entitled The Holy Spirit Unites and Satan Divides, taken out of Ephesians chapter 4, where there's a long list of unifying things the Holy Spirit does. One God and Father of us all, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. That's what we're looking at here on Sunday. You know, anytime we question or wonder what something comes from or what in the world was that, you know, sometimes you just got to take a step back and look at the end result. No matter who it is, you know, Satan, remember, he masquerades as an angel of light, or should say transforms himself in an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. Sometimes you just can't tell, but you just take a step back and look and see at what's been done. If what's been done is united people, whether it's a racial issue in the country, whether it's a political issue in the country, or whether it's an issue in the church, the Holy Spirit unites. Satan divides. Take a step back, look at what's happened, and then you'll know who it was who's instigated or has brought something to pass. God unites people through his Holy Spirit. Satan divides people through his minion. That's the sermon this week. In the meantime, we're in Revelation chapter 2. We're looking at the church in Pergamos. We just looked at one verse here yesterday. To the messenger of the church in Pergamos. Now remember, messenger, the Greek word angelos. Some translations, most have the word angel. I've got the word messenger. I think he's talking about pastor. I don't believe Jesus is telling John to write a letter and give it to an angel, because you don't see and you can't see angels. He's writing this, instructing him to give this to the pastor, the spiritual leader of this church. Verse 12, now to the messenger of the church in Pergamos, write these things, says he that has the sharp two-edged sword. We looked at that yesterday. If you missed that program, go to my website, WGODontheair.net. Look on for that link that says hear prior broadcasts, or WGOD Radio on Facebook. This program's up there. You can hear this, my teaching on this verse yesterday, what it means these things, who has the sharp two-edged sword. I won't get into that now. We looked at that the whole program yesterday. Now, verse 13, it says this. He says, I know your works and where you live, where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name, and you did not deny my faith in the days in which Antipas was my faithful witness, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. I like that. I know where you live. Sometimes it seems like, you know, the enemy knows where we live. But let me tell you what, God knows where you live, and that's better yet. God's got your back. God knows where you live. You know, I encourage you, right before you go to sleep, say a prayer. Ask the Lord to send some angels and guard you and guard your home and protect you and deliver you from evil, as we're instructed to pray that way, aren't we? Lord, deliver us from evil and deliver us from the evil one. You know, God knows where you live. We just need to be praying, ask for his protection. Before you sack out at night, ask the Lord to bless and watch out over your family as you're sleeping. He knows where you live. Sometimes he just waits for us to pray for things. How many stories have I heard, have you heard, of God doing great things in response to people's prayers? For some reason, unknown to me, he wants us to pray about things, and God seems to take great pleasure and joy in us asking him for things in prayer. He just loves us that much that it brings him great joy when we care enough to pray about something. He loves us so much. For God demonstrates his own love for you in that while you were still a sinner, that Jesus Christ died for you, it says in Romans chapter 5. God loves you so much, he let his own son come down here, die on the cross, so that he could reconcile us back to him. There are no irreconcilable differences with God, you see. He's already done all the work. He has reconciled us by sending his son down here to die on the cross for us so that you can be reconciled back to God. Because without receiving Christ, you see, you've got some differences that need to be reconciled. They're not irreconcilable unless if you refuse Jesus Christ, unless if you do not obey the gospel. Now that's where we're at yesterday. He's coming back again the next time in flame and fire, inflicting vengeance on all those that do not obey the gospel. He's done all the work. He wants to reconcile you back to him. Someone's already paid the price. All you have to do is receive him. I know your works. And I know where you live, where Satan's throne is. What did he mean by that? Well, outside of this city, or in this city, there was this huge temple to someone named Asclepius, if I pronounced their name right. Now, this was a pagan god of healing represented in the form of a serpent. So overlooking this city was this giant serpent's head. Now, I think perhaps that's what the Lord meant by this. I know your works. I know where you live, where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name, and you did not deny my faith in the days in which Antipas was my faithful witness. Now, where can we go with this? First, let's look at, he says, my faith. I wonder why he didn't say your faith. He says, you hold fast to my name, and you did not deny my faith. Now, we have to take those both together. I don't think I've ever seen this before. My name and my faith. You can't say his name and your faith. You can't say any Bible that changes that to you did not deny your faith is wrong. They shouldn't have done that. You hold fast to my name, Jesus says, and you did not deny my faith. As much as the name belongs to him, friend, the faith belongs to him. Did you know that? Even the faith is not your own. Where does it say that in the Bible? Well, you have to have a King James Bible to find that, and you will find it plenty of places. Galatians chapter 2, verses 16 and 20. I've been crucified with Christ. There's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Also in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ. It's not your faith, it's his. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of your own, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Your faith is a gift from God. It's been given to you as a gift. Where else could you go? Romans chapter 3, verse 22. It says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Even the faith is not your own. The faith is a gift. And then I like to show you, too, one last thing here in this, and that is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, which says, so therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every impediment and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Now, many translations have the word our there, our faith, but the word our is in italics, meaning the translators added that because they thought the sentence would read better that way. The author and perfecter of our faith. Literally, this is Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author, Greek word archegon, meaning pioneer, trailblazer, the author and perfecter of faith. Not just our faith, but faith. He's the author of faith, the pioneer of faith. Faith originates with the Son of God, and you, as a gift, have been given faith. That's how you can believe, that by the gift of faith that he's given you. Last thing, too, is Antipas. Now, history has it on Antipas that he was burned alive in a bronze kettle. That's how this man died, who Jesus gives reference to here. In the days of which Antipas was my faithful witness, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. He says it again, where Satan dwells there in this town. How did Antipas do it? Well, I'll tell you how. Antipas had hupomone. That is, he persevered under trials. James says, count it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces, or the testing of your faith develops, the Greek word hupomone, hupomeno, endurance, spiritual fortitude, comes through you abiding under the hand of God as you are undergoing trials. Let me say to you something as we close today, friend. If you are undergoing a trial today, praise God for it, because he's doing a great work in you, which will enable you to be just like Antipas and exactly like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who walked into the burning fiery furnace, or Paul and Silas singing hymns when they went to jail, is because God had developed something in them to give them the fortitude to get through these things. That's how Antipas did this. We're out of time. Are you undergoing a trial today, a terrible trial, or a test of your faith? Count it all joy when you encounter these trials, knowing that, meaning this is all not in vain. God's got a purpose and plan behind it to make you into a spiritual giant, to enable you to walk up to someone 9'6" like David did and said, get out of my face, friend. God's at work in your life. We'll be back again soon with a new program here on WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web at wgodontheair.net. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter.